You're very welcome to the Between the Lines lads podcast by Killshot. Small Alley season is nearly over. We're down to the Blue Ribbon finals of the year. There's more people playing in Small Alley than any of the other three codes, and that, in my opinion, makes it the most important. I'm sure Paul would disagree and will go on about the sound of the softball hitting the wall in Virginia, the best big alley in the country, on a warm summer's evening, summoning the ghosts of the greats. He'll inevitably start on about how the absence of timeouts and mopping floors makes it the far superior game. Or maybe it'll be Chris who disagrees with me and preaches the gospel of hardball, the oldest and truest form of the game, played only by a subset of people who eat gravel for breakfast and would make Rocky training montage look like a gentle yoga session. But here we are anyway, lads. Between the Lines, our first run out of a podcast that could end up going nowhere or could make us all pariahs for insulting every handballer in the country. Paul, Chris, how's the form? Are we looking forward to tomorrow?
Can we first, the biggest elephant in the room, which is your sock dem haircut and your flare accessory glasses. What's going on here? I'm actually going to put a photo of this up. We're getting worse, Steve.
Listen, you have to embrace your inner lefty every now and then. I know the man on my far right here wouldn't necessarily agree with me, but you look. Anyway, are we looking forward to tomorrow?
Yeah, we're looking forward to tomorrow, yeah. This is Christmas Eve for handball fans now, isn't it? Really, like, we've two senior singles finals tomorrow. Sienna against Fiona, Robbie against Jeremy. And we've a whole pile of other finals over the weekend in different grades. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, 100% looking forward to it. Semi-finals went on late, but they were good, really good quality handball. I don't think it was the best. I think all the players will come back and say that they probably had a level to go, another gear to go in their semi-finals. But yeah, I think the finals are shaping up nicely, and like we've all seen Jeremy and Robbie before. Like, the way Robbie's playing, he's playing incredible, but like Jeremy's showing how tough he is as well. It's going to be a cracker. And Fiona's playing as well as I think I've ever seen her. Sienna's still building, but she dispatched Neve in the second game. You know, it's a real set of finals.
Yeah, so if you have a look at the women's draw first, if we go back a bit, you know, there's one glaring omission from it.
So we're just going to skip past the fact that you think 40 by 20 is the most important.
Well, it certainly is. When you've got that many people playing as we do, you know, it's leaving the rest of them in the halfway place. I'm not saying that, you know, the dirty word of one wall might not, you know, creep up on it eventually.
That's too dirty word.
Oh, there we go. Spot the pedant in the corner over here.
I think this is getting spicy already.
Yeah, I don't think it's the time for this fight, lads. This is when we can come back to it.
Throwing bombs out.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go on. The women's draw, Martina was missing from it, lads. And I think, you know, the form that she had been on up to Christmas anyway was sensational. Did she go a whole year without being beaten? That's fully incredible. And then to see her missing from the draw, I think a lot of people would be very disappointed.
Yeah, I think so. I think it definitely weakens the draw. There's no doubt about that. You take Katrina Casey out of it as well. Like, we were so used to Katrina being in everything. The business end of the big alley, the one wall, the 40 by 20, and the doubles in the big alley, the doubles in the small alley. The Worlds, US Nationals, Pro Stops. Katrina was there in the mix in the business end of all the competitions. So when she left the field through injury, that weakened it, and then Martina just took over. Just said, "Well, okay, it's my time."
Martina came back in almost at the perfect time, in a way, just to have someone that's like Katrina and Martina had an amazing couple of years battling it out. And Martina was probably the only one of all the women that really put it up to Katrina, took wins, you know. And Katrina came back and she got better than ever. Martina took time out with injury. And then Martina came back. And we didn't see the best of Martina for a couple of months because she was getting back into it. We didn't see then Katrina was out with an ACL tear or whatever, and we actually haven't seen that rivalry come back into the mix, really. So it is a shame. It is a major shame that Martina's not in the championship for whatever reasons. And
we can only assume it's injury. I think we have to assume it's injury.
I don't know what the full situation is. But either way, it's a glaring miss for having the All-Ireland Senior Champion not in the mix.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think with everybody who steps out of it through injury or through whatever other reason, it leaves the door open for other people to try and make a name for themselves. And I know Amy Brennan in the quarterfinal against Sienna definitely put it up during the first game. And Sienna was struggling with her for a while at the start. Now I know she kind of...
Yeah, I think Sienna, a lot of the games are becoming very repeatable for her. She's not blowing anyone away from the start.
Well, she did give me a bit of a scoop after her semi-final win, because she said, I asked her about it and I said, look, are you aiming to peak for the business end of the competition, or is it just happening that way that you are kind of a little bit flat in your performances and then getting a little bit better as it goes on? And she says, well, to be honest, I haven't really talked about it, but the 3 weeks before the quarterfinal, I actually only played handball once. I had a bit of a hip and groin injury. So it's not a conscious effort to peak for the latter stages. I just haven't been able to play the amount of handball I would have liked in the lead up to this. So she was saying that typically she would have had a few games in Croker in the lead up to the quarterfinal against Amy and so on. So a lot of these thoroughbreds are very finely tuned. We look, it's the week of Cheltenham. You're talking about thoroughbreds.
Yeah,
1% off can throw a real thoroughbred off, whereas the average plotter, you get by on disrupted preparation and stuff like that, because your preparation isn't to the nth degree anyway.
I think that was the biggest obvious last weekend, when the under 16 doubles went on so over time, and there wasn't maybe a little bit of nimbleness from GA Handball to put the second 16 doubles match onto a different court, and they ended up being 2 hours late starting the stream, 2 hours late for the players to start. So Sienna and Niamh were ready to go at 4 o'clock and they were standing around the show court. And look, I know it's very difficult to run championships at tournaments like that when there's so many people involved and so many games to get through, but having the senior championship kick off 2 hours later, and then Sienna having to go and get food for a second time, or trying to start her warm up an hour, and do her warm up twice and warm down, warming up, same with Niamh, and everyone else that followed on was disrupted by the matches starting so late. So you see, as you said about thoroughbreds and having disrupted preparation, didn't set up for the best night's handball.
I thought in general the handball wasn't great in the four matches. I thought everyone was cranky, everyone was a little bit tired, a little bit annoyed that things had run over. Not throwing any shade at anyone, but it wasn't an ideal situation, and it didn't facilitate good games, I don't think, really. Like I thought the outstanding performer from the eight players for me was Robbie. I thought 100%. He was sensational against David Walsh. I thought, as I said in the commentary, if someone asked me how did Jeremy Nash play, I'd say brilliant and terrible.
Yeah.
Because he really oscillated within the game, but at times he was outstanding, at times he was really poor by his standards, and I'm sure he'd admit that. I thought Sienna started slowly and Niamh started really sharp.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I looked at the score and Sienna was winning 12-8 or 12-7.
Yeah, 12-9
like,
or something.
Yeah, how did that happen? Because it felt like Niamh had been the better player to that point. And once Niamh's level dropped, Sienna upped it a wee bit. It was a big gulf there. And then probably the pick of the games was probably Molly and Fiona in terms of...
First game was competitive.
It was, yeah. I Molly's really good. She's very fast on her feet and she's got a nice selection of shots. But I think Fiona would have been happy with how she played there as well. So, we're going to have to wrap up our predictions on the ladies' game, I suppose, before we'll end up talking about everything all at once.
Yeah. Right, Chris, you can go first. Call it.
I think Fiona's going to win it too. To be honest, Sienna's seasoned and she's, but I think Fiona's serving has been sensational.
Unbelievable, yeah.
So when things weren't going right for herself against Molly, she was still really consistent on her serve. She was hitting crack serves and bits and pieces. And when someone's serving that well, and this might be a part of the prediction for the men's, someone's serving super well, it sets up a lot of easier points. And I think Fiona in two this time around. If Sienna goes and wins it, I think Sienna wins it in the tiebreak.
Okay, Paul.
Well, I think it's set up for a close game, so I'm going to oppose you on your prediction, Chris. I'm going to say Sienna. But it's not a confident vote, and that's not really casting aspersions on Sienna or anything like that. I just think Fiona's playing really well coming into it. Her serving, definitely. I asked her about that after her game, after the game, and she said, "Yeah, I've put a lot of work into that."
Snapping the ball so well.
Like. She is, but Sienna is has so much going for her as well. Like, it's hard to believe Sienna has and I say this in inverted commas, has only won one senior singles.
Yeah,
do you know. So you're reaching a point where it's a battle for Fiona to win her first, just get her name on the Roll of Honour, is massive. And for Sienna, it's to be a multiple winner, which is, again, and we'll be talking about this when we talk about McCarthy and Nash, but I think there's a massive difference between 1 and 2 compared to, we'll say, between 4 and 5.
Yeah.
You lose track after you win 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
The average fan does, but to win a second one is huge. Like, so it's a really interesting game. I'm going to go with Sienna, but I think whoever wins is going to be a very popular winner. I'd love to see Fiona win a senior singles. Brilliant player, always turns up and plays her game, and she's had her share of heartache on the court, and I think she deserves that to win a senior singles. But look, Sienna trains so hard. She's an unbelievable ambassador for the sport. I think she's the most marketable asset we have in the sport, and I honestly think Sienna will end up with her own show on TV. I honestly think that. Yeah. Probably TG Carr or something. I think she's so charismatic, so marketable, and she's so likable as well.
You're punting to be a guest on that show.
That's fair enough. I'm going to go Sienna. But
so I've got the deciding vote, and I'm going to looking back to the, was it a Mick Kerr? Was it in the final of Mick Kerr? It was back and forth, went to a tiebreaker, and I think Sienna just, to lean on an old cliche, just relied on the experience to get her over the line. But I'm going to go and say, just to be different and just to, you know, really stand out from the two, I'm going to go Sienna in 2. I don't know. I think, again, leaning on that experience from earlier on in the season, leaning on that want to be a multiple champion that we spoke about. Yeah, Sienna in 2. But go back to what Paul's saying about being an ambassador for the sport. The two of them are, they're brilliant. You see them there and you see them win, lose or draw, they'll stay, they'll get pictures with kids, they'll talk to the kids, they really stand up for the sport. So whoever wins it, I'd be delighted for them. Very fond of the two of them. So yeah, I'll go with Sienna in 2, but we'll be delighted if Fiona won it.
They've had a couple of, like, they've played twice in the Mick Kerr and the Cheese Ace earlier on the season. Both of them went to tie breaks.
Yeah.
And Sienna did come through the tie breaks. And as I said, it's a coin toss, really. I think that Fiona, though, if she settles into the game, I think she's devastating left and right.
She
really can. She's so aggressive, but if she doubts herself, she makes hand errors. We've all seen that when she's playing really confident, and she looked really confident even though things weren't going well the last night, and she got through Molly Dagg.
I think Molly Dagg, people are underrating Molly. She's excellent. Popular. I don't think she's that terribly far off the top 2 or 3.
Absolutely, and the same in the Big Alley. I think she's ready. She's knocking on that door.
As is Niamh. Like, and Niamh had a great win against Alicia in the quarterfinal. So, I mean, the depth is there in the ladies now. And like, hopefully you'll have Martina and Katrina go back into that, which would be outrageous if they put them back into it.
Right, we'll wrap up the women's match there and move on to the men's. We'll leave the predictions till the end. Chris, I was.
So we're not going back to your haircut.
No, listen, the haircut. You're just jealous that I have the hair. That's all there is to it. Man has more hair in his face than he has in his head. But more hair in his knuckles than he has in his head. But the men's final. Chris, it was interesting listening to you talking to Robbie the other day, after the match, and Robbie almost saying that, you know, the legs aren't there to play that long attritional game that he's so well known for. That he's, you know. Obviously, he's powerful and he's skillful, but, you know, we spoke about in the car on the way up, you know, his ability to kill people as well as kill the ball, that he's just wears him down, then blows him away. It was interesting listening to Robbie talking about, you know, that he's kind of recognised that maybe the body isn't there and it's just time to shoot. I think we saw that in the semi-finals. He was absolutely devastating. Like, he
was mad. Like, in the in those conversations, it was almost like when I was watching him before, he would try and run you down. He'd keep you in the court. That first game would be a long slog. It would go on for ages, and then he would just open up and he'd blow you away in the second game, try and kill your legs, make you stop even going for dumps and re-kills, and try and kill you. And then the second game, he'd just shoot the lights out. He was doing that for 10 years. And this year, he's just come out and he's just firing. He's got a rapid serve down the right. It's so fast. He hits it with loads of hop. It's going kicking left, kicking right. It's impossible to know what he's going to do when things are going well, because he's flying the ball, he's dumping the balls into corners, and he's shooting at the first opportunity, which is not what Robbie was doing for the last 10 years. So it's a different, he's different way of going about it. I think he's playing awesome stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he said that after. Like, he said he was noticeably more aggressive, but I thought he served very well. So he attacked David's right hand, and he forced David to get down low on the ball, and he was getting chances and he was putting it away, and his confidence was flying. You have to look at the way Robbie is coming into it. His mentality is, my legacy is secure. I've won, and we should have these stats to hand, but he's won whatever he has won in the big alley and the small alley. Like, he's a glittering hall of titles. So he did basically announce his retirement last August. So he's come back from that, and I'm glad to see him back. But I think he's just playing with no pressure on him now. And that makes him dangerous.
I think, again, he looks like he's enjoying it a lot more.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he looks like he's having fun in there. He looks 3 or 4 years younger than he is, because he's just having that bit of crack when he's in there playing.
I don't think I've ever seen him play better than that. I think he played at his maximum. He was brilliant.
He was
in all aspects of the game.
Owen McGinty is a good up and coming player. He's rapid, fast. He good shots. He's crazy shots as well. His big hop serves. And he blasted him away 21-1 in the first game.
Mm.
He made him look like he was playing a junior B player. And it was just like, and that's not a slight on Owen. I refereed his game the week before against Colin Corbett. He's playing really good stuff. But what do you do with it when someone is putting a wicked serve down the right and they're just shooting at the first opportunity and flattening the ball? And if you do go for a kill, he dumps it and re-kills it. You know, like, he's, and as you said, he's looking like he's enjoying the game.
Yeah, he's in fantastic shape.
Which I don't think he was enjoying the game for a long time.
Well, I think he overtrained for the Worlds in 2024. Yeah. I thought he sort of looked gaunt, and look, he was so lean that he was nearly too lean, Robbie. And I thought there was pressure on him. And after the singles was over, the pressure was off. Like, he didn't have all that pressure of trying to win the singles, and he played like hell in the doubles.
He was the best player in the court by a mile.
Yeah, and that's in the court with Martin and Killian. Like,
yeah.
So, like, I think that the pressure's off now. If you compare him to Paul Brady in that Worlds, I thought there was a glow of health off Paul. Like, he had got his training spot on, whereas Robbie looked a wee bit drained and under pressure. Whereas now, look, I think the pressure's off him. If he loses. His titles are there. He's won them. He's won what he's going to win anyway. Everything now is just gravy. So I think he's a very dangerous opponent from that point of view.
In handball terms, he's not old. Like, he talks about being old.
Yeah, but he's been going on like that for years.
For a long time.
Yeah.
But he's like, he's not old. He's 39. In handball terms, like, that's like, there's loads of top players that play into their mid-40s at a really high level. And they, and some of them, like, Paul won the Open World Singles. Might not have been the player he was when he was 30. You know, he's the world champion right now, but he can play an exceptional high standard. Top players like Robbie or Paul or Duxie, Tom Sheridan, they all played a really high level for a really long time. And when they're 45, so they're better than most 25-year-olds.
That brings up another argument there. Like, is the standard of what's younger players coming up, is it up to scratch? And I mean, that's one for another day, but it's hard to make the argument. Like, when Paul won the Worlds, one person in Gavin was brave enough to say to me, it doesn't look good for the sport when a 45-year-old is the best player in the world. And I said, hold on now, wash him out there. But at the same time, personally, it's true. Like, we're looking at our senior final now. We've Jeremy at 35, Robbie at 38 or 39.
There's very few sports where that would be allowed to happen, insofar as you wouldn't have a young fella coming up snapping at their heels and knocking them off their perch.
Well, David Watch is our young up and coming.
And Kyle Jordan won the Southern Classic.
He did, but
then he these are lads that you'd be Mark Doyle is in America, but if he was here, he'd definitely be
in the mix.
He'd be in the mix with the senior champ.
Ah, he would. That's true. But the fact of the matter is, you're looking at the senior singles and looking at your short list of contenders, and the youngest contender there was David Walsh, which is probably 27.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a slight concern. With Kyle, when he won the Southern Classic, like, my phone was hopping. Everyone was like, "We've got a superstar!" And people were so happy that he won that Southern Classic because the senior scene needed a shake up. But it's easy for me to say, but I thought he should have entered the senior singles then.
100%.
He's going well. He's fit.
Sorry,
he's going
Totally disagree with you. 100%. Totally disagree with you. He wanted to win the intermediate. Wanted to be a senior player by right. Win his way into senior. I'm all for it.
He didn't win.
I know he didn't, but he wanted to, and maybe he'll prove me wrong next year and he'll enter senior. Like, but I think that thing of winning an intermediate, being a qualified senior player, for want of a better word.
Joe McCann didn't win an intermediate title in the 4x20.
Yep.
But he's still a senior player. He won a senior doubles.
Yeah, and I think you're comparing singles and doubles, I think it gets a little bit tricky. I think Kyle Jordan wanted to, you know, announce himself onto the senior stage by going, "I am the reigning intermediate champion and I'm here to, I'm not quoting your man, to take over." But, you know, I think that was the mindset of, let's step up to senior by going through the right process.
He should have been thinking, I could be the first intermediate player to win the senior singles and the intermediate singles in 1 year.
But it is easy for us to say that as well. Yeah.
We also have to remember that while the intermediate was on, while the senior was on, so was the collegiates. So he's always the collegiates. He's playing intermediate, he's playing senior. Could his body handle that much work?
Well, clearly it couldn't, because he went out of the intermediate. He was injured when he played Niall Joyce. Niall was exceptional on the day as well. I definitely wouldn't take away.
It's so hard to come back from America. We saw David Walsh himself in intermediate singles a couple of years ago coming back from the collegiates. I think David was over his coach with that team. I think that year, but he played Gavin Coyle and Gavin beat him. Well deserved. I wouldn't take away from Gavin for a second, but players do find it difficult. I remember Martin McCarron's coming home from America when he was around that age, and he played Michael Finnegan, and Michael was don't get me wrong, like, obviously Michael was brilliant, but he beat him up a stick in Kingscourt. Yeah. Martin was only home a few days, and there is a hangover from that. But here's a question, lads. Make the case, whether you believe it's going to happen or not, or maybe you do, make the case for how Diarmaid wins the game. If we're talking about this game next week and Diarmaid has the Gael Lynn Cup down in Scariff, how will he have won it?
I think he war of attrition drags him into deep water, and if he just goes in with those paddle re-kills and just gets, like, he as you said, like, he's gone to a tiebreaker two or three times in the championship already. He's more hardened into the championship. He hasn't had anything easy.
So that counts for a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think that, is he gonna outshoot Robbie? No, but he might drag him into a bit of a war of attrition.
Yeah, if he drags him into a dogfight, he has every chance. And I think, you know, Paul,
that's a little bit disrespectful to Nash.
What?
The only way you can beat Robbie is drag him down to his level.
No, I'm not dragging him down to his level. It's a completely different style of play. Like, Nash doesn't play Robbie's style at all. It's a much more measured. If you look at Nash in the world final against Brady, he had him on the ropes. He had him on the ropes by playing his own game. Not dragging Brady down to his level, but by slowing the game down. I can't remember. It could have been you who said it. We were talking about serving an overhand lob serve on his offhand and how tricky that is to do, but he made that work and he slowed the game right down. And I don't think it's bringing him down to his level. I think it's getting Robbie to play Nash's game. I have unbelievable respect for Nash, and I think when we were up at the Mick Kerr, Paul was interviewing he was interviewing Nash, and I think it was myself, Alicia and Sienna were standing waiting by. We were doing photo shoots and interviews, and every time Nash was speaking to Paul, Sienna and Alicia would stop talking so we could hear what he was saying. It was It was like listening to a surgeon explain how he was going to take his season apart. Phenomenal. It was such an insight to top level sports people and the way they think. And I know there was a nice article published about it from GAA or wherever it was. And some of the quotes in it really stand out, that he's chasing that. And you mentioned it earlier on. He's chasing that multiple All-Ireland title as opposed to... He said, I think he said himself,
yeah,
a good few people have won one. Very few have won more than one.
Yeah,
I thought, even though Paul came out of it the world champion, I thought Jimrith was the player of the championship. And I'll tell you why.
That's a bold statement.
He went through murder.
What do you hit Paul Brady?
No, far from it. I thought he had literally the hardest route to the final. Ray Ure, the first round. Came through Ray Ure. He beats Killian Carroll, beats David Walsh, and into a final against Brady. I think that he had an exceptionally hard draw.
He played really, really well against Killian in particular.
Ray Ure is the top two or three. Beat Martin Mulkearns in the final of one of the Pro Stops a couple of weeks ago.
I would have said without fear of contradiction that Ray Ure was the best young player in the world before Kyle won that Southern Classic, which was a breakout for him.
Yeah.
But it's between those two for who's the best young player in the world. And Mark, yeah. But I think Mark could be a year or two older, is he?
No, Mark's younger.
Mark's
younger
than Ray Ure, yeah.
Okay.
So...
Just on that, lads, Jeremy's comment about players that have won one senior singles. So the senior singles in the small alley has been going, this is the 51st year. This is actually the 50th. Am I right in saying this is the 50th championship? Because we had no championship in 2021. It started in 1975. Players that have won one, there aren't that many. Walter O'Connor is one of them. Owen Kennedy is one of them. Charlie Shanks, Martin Mulcairns, and Jeremy Nash. I mean, wow. No bad players there. The players that have won more than one are Pat Kirby, who won the first six. Tony Ryan won the next three. Martin Hennigan, your own club man, Chris.
That's it.
And then Duxie. Sorry, Mickey Walsh from Roscommon has won as well. Has won. People always miss him in the role of honour because it was Michael Walsh, and then Michael Walsh. But not that many players have won it.
Yeah.
Because most players that win it win multiple. Like Robbie won it in 2014, 2015, 2016.
Won his first in a tiebreaker in Salt Hill in 21-19 over Martin Hennigan. Martin was going for three in a row.
Wow, never knew that. To answer my own question, how will Jeremy win the game? He has to go after Robbie's left hand.
Yeah.
Robbie has two unbelievable hands, but if you watch him closely, I think if there's one chink in his armour, it's that he might be a little bit lazy on some left-hand shots and doesn't do a whole pile with the ball. And Jeremy will have copped that and will be going after that. The shot that comes around the walls, so the ball that comes deep, right side wall, back wall, and Nash follows it around with his left hand and he hits stiff arm, underhand, back wall shot that is killed dead weight. It cannot be picked because it hits the front wall so low and at dead weight. He has to make that shot 90% of the time because he'll get that shot, and in recent weeks he hasn't been putting it away consistently.
50%,
yeah. And when Jeremy's playing well, he makes that shot. The other thing is he's got to make a high percentage of his kills in general. I thought he put a lot of ball into the floor against Funchen,
especially in the second game. He was flying in the first game and he seemed like nothing was going, and it was just like almost like a mental switch where he got a bit distracted, and you know, he was thinking that he was going to keep on running the same way, and when Peter started upping his level, it was almost like Jeremy was worried. Worried is the wrong word. It was like Jeremy's level dropped a bit because he was maybe a little complacent in how he was going about the game. And once a player takes foot off the accelerator for a minute or two, it can be really hard to get going again.
Yeah.
But what we have seen both the quarterfinal against Michael Hedigan and last week against Peter Funchen, when he gets to that tiebreaker, he's electric for the first 5 points and he just gets himself into a lead and he just consistently kills out the game from there.
Yeah. This is his fifth senior final against Robbie McCarthy, and he's won one previously in a tiebreaker. Robbie has beaten him in the rest of the games, I think, in straight games. So Robbie's got to go in his favourite. Like on historical form, on all known form of recent weeks, like Robbie was, as we said, was the most impressive out of eight players last week. Yeah. Eight of the best players in the country. But I'm going to make a bold call. I think Jeremy might do it. I have a funny feeling.
To be honest, I was going to make a bold call too.
Right, so Chris, you call it first.
I think I was going to say Jeremy the tiebreaker, and I just think that what might happen, and I might be wrong, is say if Robbie will start super fast, he'll blast away, but there's something in that war of attrition that he's been doing for years that is inbred into his game at some stage, and when Jeremy drags out of him, I think that Jeremy is just going to come good, because I think that'll give him confidence that he dragged him into that type of dogfight.
Go for it.
I think his return to serve will be better than David's was last weekend. I think we'll see a big performance from Nash. He's so experienced. He knows. I'd say he thinks this is his destiny now, win this senior singles, be a multiple champion. And I think he's battle hardened, and sometimes your name's on the cup in any sport. And you know, he could have been knocked out of the championship a couple of times before now, but he wasn't. And it does seem a bit crazy to be tipping against Robbie McCarthy, considering how well Robbie played, what an amazing handballer he is. But you know, these two have played so often. Just because Robbie has the upper hand in senior finals, they've played a lot of tournament finals, a lot of ranking tournament events, stuff like that. There's rarely much between them. They go to a lot of tiebreakers. Nash has won plenty. Nash loves that court.
Yeah.
He loves that court. He trains there a lot. In fact, the two lads train together there a bit. So I think we could be in for a cracker. I think we've two finals that are relatively close to call. While there's a clear favourite for me, Sienna has to be the favourite in the ladies,
100%.
And Robbie has to be the favourite in the men's.
But you're not backing either of them.
I wouldn't fall over with shock if it was, no matter who won any of the games. So
I'm gonna go and I'm gonna say Robbie in two straight. I think the form he's shown, the enjoyment that's back in his game, and again, like you said, there's no pressure. Absolutely no pressure on the man. I think there's no doubt he won't be listening to this, which is fine. But you know, the twoies are giving him massive ammunition there, writing him off at this stage. I think.
Well, we're not writing him off. Definitely.
You've accused me of being having a sock down haircut, mad glasses, and why do I hate Dermot? I've had to get something in there.
I said Claire accessory glasses.
glasses.
And I'm going to put a photo of them up.
Have you taken the photo already? Yeah. So I'm going that. Robbie in two. And so just to kind of wrap up.
Before you go, Chris, can we touch on a couple of the other games very quickly?
Well, no, I'm Stephen, but anyway.
No, I was talking to Chris. just on the Masters games, very quickly. Fleming against Bogey in the Masters.
That's the match of the weekend.
Final.
Match of the day.
That's going to be a cracker. I think Fleming's the smartest handballer in Ireland. I think he's a player who 99% of the time hits the right shot.
He definitely thinks that as well. he'll definitely be listening to this.
Yeah,
so. He'll love that.
I think that's a cracking game. Gavin Bogey, an unbelievable athlete, but an unbelievable reach, power. I played a bit of Big Al against him before, and he's hit shots at other players. I've never seen players hit shots that Gavin can hit. He's brilliant. That has the makings of a great game. In the other Masters finals, you're going right up to over 70s finals, like Billy Mullins against Eugene Kennedy. Players like that, they're all really interesting games. On Sunday, am I right in saying we've got our minor? So very quickly, Sean Considine plays Travis Gibbons in the minor, which will be an interesting game. Sligo against Clare. Cormac Finn won that for Sligo.
He did, yeah.
And they hadn't won that previously in the 4x20.
They had never won in the 4x20. The last minors before that were Marcus Henry and John Gaffney.
So okay.
Told about, I think that was in the 60s.
That'll be an interesting game. The under 21 final is Jamie Barnes from Wexford against Cian Donnie from Cork. Will be an interesting game as well. The junior final is going to be a cracker. Jack Holden from Kilkenny against Shawnee Doyle.
Jamie Barnes versus Cian, just before, that could be really interesting, because that could get Jamie Barnes to skip junior altogether, because he actually won the junior B last year, and he hasn't. Then he's gone into under 21. If he wins it, he could go straight up to intermediate.
Very interesting. So. Didn't cop that. And then obviously your own county man Niall Joyce is playing Rory Grace.
Big game.
That's a good game.
Yeah.
That's two really tidy handballers, very skillful.
Yeah, and Niall's in exceptional form. He's playing super well, hitting the ball really. Hitting the ball as well as I've ever seen him hit the ball. Like, his serving is exceptional, and he's on a real run of form. He beat Seamus Keneally very convincingly in the Connacht final. Came into the semi final, didn't have much pressure on him because he was playing Kyle Jordan. Kyle wasn't 100%, and Niall took full advantage. And I think everyone knows it's not easy to play an injured player. They're often more dangerous because they just go for everything. And Niall coming out in an 11-10 tie break in that, it was, yeah, good day for Mayo.
Brilliant. Okay, the ladies' intermediate final would be a good game as well. Carmel Kelleher against Laura Duff, two recent very decorated underage players.
They both played exceptionally well on last Sunday as well. And both plays were brilliant.
The girls' minor final, which really should be down as women's minor final, because they're not girls, they're 18. It's Claire Minogue against Freya Donlan. That's Claire against Galway. I don't know too much about those players now, but I've seen their names. They've won quite a bit underage honours, those two players. So, yeah, big day Sunday too.
Big weekend in store. Right, am I allowed to wrap it up then?
Do we have any more insults for you?
Yeah, well, listen, that's what I'm here for. So yeah, we're gonna, you know, as we go on, this might be, you know, a one-time thing, or we may do more. Let's hope that we'll be doing more. So there, any ideas that you might have, you might send a little message to the lads on Killshot. You know, we're planning on having a bitching topic once a week. You know, things like timeouts. How do you feel about that, Mo?
No interest, no thoughts either way.
It
wouldn't get you going at all.
you get the kind of idea. So yeah, so there you have it, the first and hopefully not the last episode of Between the Lines, lads.
If you don't like this podcast, send it straight through to Steve Markham Photography.
Yeah, so we're going to name Between the Lines, lads. It's a podcast brought to you by Killshot Handball Gloves. We have a lot of ideas for how to progress the podcast over the coming weeks and months, including interviews with some past and present players. And we also want to shed some light on the lesser seen parts of the sport. So, like I said, if you have any suggestions, drop an L message on Instagram or Facebook, since that seems to be the handball social media, to the lads in Killshot. And yeah, I'll leave it there. So, Chris Gavigan, Paul Fitzpatrick, and myself, Stephen Markin. Thanks a mil.